Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's have some fun.
Bring in a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
Oh, I love that.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals.
Bingo. How fun.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
The best double play combination in Stark County.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Welcome to another edition of the Kenny and JT Show. 4 full hours of this madness as the Indians don't play till 8:15 tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. They got a chance to win tonight, though, JT, because Shane Bieber's pitching. You got Bieber and you got Savale, and then a bunch of huge question marks in the rotation after that right now as the Indians are 4 games back. So maybe the Biebs, although he'll have to bat tonight because it's in St. Louis, interleague play, the Biebs can get the Indians a victory tonight and get them back on the winning track and moving in the right direction. As I told you before the season started, I felt good about 3 of their pitchers, Savale, Plesac, and Bieber. Well, they're down to 2 of those 3 right now because Plesac's still out with that fractured thumb. He was supposed to get it looked at today for an update. I haven't seen anything from the Indians, but they've got to try and tread water here, man, until they get him back and figure out who's going to be the 4th and 5th guy in this rotation.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, the only thing I can think of is maybe you go to Florida State and you pick up that girl that pitched yesterday in the women's I want to call it slow pitch. The Women's Softball World Series, right?
Absolutely.
So you get them in there.
I mean, wheeling and dealing that underhand changeup and curveball and high heater and everything like that. You know what? Let me do this before I forget because remember we were talking about the miles per hour comparison and everything, right?
Oh, that text message we got yesterday?
Yes, and here it was. This was from Robert Kolarik, who told us yesterday, and thanks for texting us, Robert, at 330-583-4591. You can join our text club just by, punching those numbers in your phone, saving it, and then text us anytime. From Dr. Bob in Albuquerque, high school softball distance is 43 feet, okay, JT? So 43 feet inside the circle, as they call it, right, to home plate. Well, how about this? The equivalent of a 70 miles per hour fastball in women's soft pitch, softball fast pitch, right? Yeah. We'll get it right here. 70 miles per hour from that distance is equivalent to 100 miles an hour in Major League Baseball. Okay? They have this chart on here, men's fast pitch, women's fast pitch, and then baseball and what it's equivalent to. So if you throw it 70 miles an hour underhand in high school in women's fast pitch, that's equivalent to 100 miles an hour in men's 60-foot, 6 inches Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
How about this, though? We were told that Missy Holzhoppel, she's throwing it at near 80 miles an hour in high school. What's that, 110 miles an hour then? I mean, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that was – so, Robert, thanks for sending us that text, and that's why we love our text club, because when we have questions like that, we ask the question on the air, and you can respond anytime. So do that again at 330-583-4591.
The big thing tonight, we're talking Indians baseball, is the fact that Bieber's on the mound, but we also have Bobby Bradley, who's hitting 8,000.
800. He's hitting 800.
No, he's hitting like 8,000. The guy never makes it out.
Is that what it is?
He was batting 1,000 until he made one out. He's batting 800. Yeah. You're right.
Four for five
is what he is on this young season. So hopefully he's in the lineup tonight for the Indians. So that's later tonight again, 8:15, first pitch right here on WHBC. Yesterday, we talked about it on the show because yesterday John Pazica had the lawyer for Marcus Watley on the show, Peter Patakos. And they had a hearing with the superintendent yesterday. And Peter told John Pazica, I can give you more answers, better paint a better picture, if you will, if I come on your show on Tuesday morning at 11:15 a.m. So Peter Patakos was on again today with John Bozica at 11:15 a.m. We're going to play the interview for you with John and Peter coming up at the bottom of this hour at 3:35. You listen to it. I listen to it. Our listeners will get a chance to tune in coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Did you get any new news or any new information or hear anything that was either a red light or something that changed your mind about anything that's been going on since the school board elected not to renew the contract of head coach Marcus Whatley, as well as six others, and the whole incident with the player?
Me? Not really. I mean, for the most part, with the investigation that was formed between the school board and what went down at the facility, it's pretty much what we expect, right? And the main thing here is the fact that the contracts are not, or they're not renewable. I mean, you have to, if you're a coach of the Kansas City school system, you have to reapply for your job every year anyway. So they have the right to do whatever they want. Now, are they using this as the main reason because there was an incident? Well, it kind of seems that way. But right, they don't need to use that as their reasoning for letting him go, even though that is the case for the most part in this situation.
Right. Here's my thing. All right. If they were thinking of making a change with Marcus Whatley as the head football coach, if they didn't like what they saw after 2 years, as you pointed out, you're 0-2 against your rival, right? You had a bunch of D1 kids last year. Yeah, you won a playoff game. But again, for the second year in a row, you didn't advance past the second round. Okay. If they wanted to get rid of him, they could have just done it at the end of the season and said, you know what? We don't like the direction this is going in. We're going to get rid of Marcus Whatley, and we're going to open this up for a search to replace him. But because they didn't do it that way, and he wasn't renewed until after the incident occurred with the player who was forced to eat a pizza that had pepperoni on it, but he took it off allegedly, but it's against his religion because the pepperoni touched the pizza. They didn't get rid of him until after that. So it makes it look like, okay, we're getting rid of Marcus Whatley by not renewing his contract because of what happened with the player. That's the way it looks to me, as opposed to, well, we didn't like what he was doing as a football coach because they should have just gotten rid of him way back when after, the season came to an end. So that's right, where I look at this and I go, okay, well, this looks to be the reason. So why he hired a lawyer then, because it looks that way, is he wants to clear his name for future jobs that he did nothing wrong with the player. And they had five players with them yesterday to speak at this hearing with the superintendent. And Manny Powell, the most I don't want to say not the most famous player, but probably their best player, was one of the guys that spoke out in favor of Marcus Whatley, wanting to bring Marcus Whatley back, which I don't think is going to happen.
Either way, it really looks bad on the program, no matter what direction it takes. And you've said it pretty much the best all along. There are two sides to every story. But the overlying story here is the fact that the McKinley football player's parent in question, which was Kenny Walker, as published by every print media, TV media, radio station that we've seen around the country now, because this has made news around the country, has pretty much said that we understand that they were upset about it. The family's upset. Now, it's just like when we talk on this radio program, everybody's got an opinion. We're all allowed to have our own opinion because that's what we do in a country that's free. Okay?
Right.
Speak our mind. This is our opinion. We're also allowed this under our constitution. We're all allowed feelings. If your feelings are hurt, if they offended you in any such way that you need to take legal action or whatever, nobody should be able to stand in the way of that and say, this is a preposterous allegation and it should not be a fireable offense. I take umbrage with that. I think it is a fireable offense. I think when you bring somebody's religion into question, growing up the way that I was raised, this is a pretty big deal, Kenny.
Right. And the question that I finally got answered, and again, we're going to play the interview with John Bozica and Peter Patakos, the attorney for Marcus Whatley, coming up at 3:35. The question that I did get answered from listening to John's interview already with Peter was, about the video, the surveillance tape. Mm-hmm. My gut feeling, as I told you yesterday, was it's probably surveillance tape, meaning there's no audio. It's just a wide shot of the gymnasium, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see what's going on there. And from listening to the interview with John, there was no audio on that surveillance tape. So if I'm the lawyer for Marcus Whatley, I'm saying, okay, yeah, that you're seeing what's going on there, but you're telling me you offered him chicken McNuggets or whatever instead of pizza. We can't hear that, so it's your word against his, mm-hmm. right? You're telling me that, you know, this, and this. Well, we don't know that because
right.
there's no audio proof. There's just a whatever the surveillance camera is, wide shot of the gymnasium showing you some form of what happened. And that's why I was wondering when the school board said, hey, the surveillance tape showed us all we need to know. Well, did it have audio? No, it did not have audio. So that would be the part I would bring into question if I were a lawyer trying
sure.
to defend Marcus Whatley.
But as we also know, the investigation took at least a week, okay?
Yeah.
Now it was probably a little bit longer because it was a holiday extended weekend.
Right.
The investigation, we knew the main evidence was going to be some form of videotape. Whether it had audio or not, we're probably leaning towards it didn't. But what else went on in this investigation? I mean, they didn't just say, oh, we got a tape right here. That's all we need. There had to be a little bit more that went into it. And once again, it leads us down the path of we don't know everything yet.
I would like to see the videotape. I don't know if it's ever going to become public. I don't know if that's for public consumption or not. I don't know what the legal laws are on that and everything. But I would like to see, you know, to see what was so damning or what was so convincing, you know, where they said, yep, unanimously, we're not renewing the contract mm-hmm. based on what we saw on the videotape. Now, they're also fighting for their jobs as whatever, either as a teacher, you know, a hall
right.
mentor or monitor or whatever it is. They're also fighting for their jobs that way, you know, as we have found out they're not going to be renewed as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part, I think, of this process too, JT. Trying to, you know, maybe either A, get paid for that job or keep that job, even though they won't be allowed to coach, you know, at McKinley again, it sounds like.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see if this thing gets legs again and where it can go. Because, again, there was a hearing yesterday. Sounds like more of like a meeting, you know. Did the attorney in question just meet with the superintendent? Was the superintendent even there? I know members of the school board were not there. There was no school board meeting. So what does this lead to and what's next?
Well, that's the question. I don't know. It's a fair question to ask. It's, you know, it's far from being over because these guys are trying to either clear their name, get paid, keep their job outside of the football program.
Right.
So there's three angles there that are still up in the air. And then does the family of the player continue to sue the school
right.
District right, for compensation? And there's still the legal aspect from the police investigating this as a hazing incident still. So all
right.
those stories lines are still out there to be written.
Makes you wonder, too, and I don't know this. I could be way off base here. I don't know because I hadn't heard. I had not heard of legal representation from Coach Whatley until the decision was made last week by the school board. Don't you think you would have maybe had that guy on a retainer and they would have come out with something before a decision was handed down from the school board?
I hear where you're coming from. I understand it. And you would think if you thought it was serious enough, you would have done that. But maybe they, for whatever reason, because in listening to this interview, supposedly this method of discipline that they tried, okay, from what I understood was they saw it work somewhere else and that they tried. They exhausted every other form of discipline to get through to the player, so they figured they'd try this one. Now, I don't know about you. Let me just ask you as a former player, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And forget that you were at McKinley just as a former
right.
player.
And a former coach.
Okay, and that too. Good point.
Right.
Okay, you coached as well. Great point. So making a kid eat food, while you're working out around, is that really going to piss you off as a player? I just don't get that. Like, they're saying this is the form of discipline that they – I don't get that.
I understand. To me,
that wouldn't up, you know, that wouldn't anger me,
yeah.
You know, with the player sure watching him eat pizza.
Well, because you're not a 15, 16, 17-year-old. Remember what they're putting in front of you. They're going to put – and you probably like this because it's your favorite food group, pizza and chicken wings. But I'm saying, I mean, you know, you're looking for a character building, something to unify the team, okay?
Right.
And it just went south. I understand that, you know, for us it used to be go run the hill at Fawcett Stadium. And you're going to run it till you almost puke. Well, guess what? If that would have happened in today's day and age, that coach is going to jail.
Yeah,
all right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Think about it. You want to talk about hazing? Have the stuff they made us do, bear drills, bear crawl drills, up downs, no water breaks. Come on. This is 2021 now. So you risk all these things. You know, let me take it a little bit further. As a DJ, a couple of years ago, there was a radio DJ that had a water drinking contest. You'll remember this. And what they did was they had somebody that was trying to win a prize drink gallons upon gallons of water. Person died. Unfortunately.
Wow.
So the person trying to win a prize, that you have to be careful when it's a contest or anything that involves food or liquid. And you have to think about what the outcome may be.
Right,
now,
the worst case scenario.
God, this kid didn't get sick eating this pizza.
Right.
Thank goodness it's only a religious faction. And that, you know, whether it was feelings or opinionated or you did something against your religion, but he didn't physically get injured. So thank God for that, right?
But their argument is mentally he's scarred because of the religious beliefs.
That's fine. You're not going to jail for that last time I checked. But if the kid would have gotten sick, choked, had to go to the hospital, now you're looking at all kinds of other issues. And these are things you think of before you ever imply that the person is going to have to do that. Now, I'm not saying they don't have the ability to make them run, make them lift, make them maybe do gassers or whatever. But it's you got to think of what the consequences might be.
Yeah, I maybe it's because I've never heard of this method. Okay, I've never heard of I've heard of make a guy stand in the middle of the gymnasium while we run past him and do line drills. Okay, I've heard of a guy like you said, if you had hills to run, where the guy that was being disciplined stood at the top of the hill and he had to watch everybody run up the hill and back down the, you know. So I've heard of those types, but maybe it's the day and age, like you're saying, this is a new way, or they thought this was a good new way to get through to him, because supposedly every other disciplinary attempt that they made wasn't getting through to what they called was, hold on, I wrote it down, JT. I wanted to, where did I put this? I'm so organized and then I'm not organized. Here it is. Extraordinary measures, teaching an extraordinary lesson to an extraordinary young man who reportedly has four D1 offers for football, but he was in jeopardy not only with the team, but for his future. You know, with those scouts. So
you
heard some of the players come out and say, look, Coach Watley's like a father figure to me. I don't have a dad. He's a father figure to me, so I want him back. And this was a so-called father figure trying to get through to a son, or in this case, a player on his team, and they thought this was the best way to do it.
I get it. And this isn't to cast any aspersions on Coach Watley. We've had him on this program many times.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he didn't do anything with the intention of hurting this person, or this was not premeditated anyway, right? But the thing is, you're going to be under the microscope, and you've got to think about what the outcome may be. And to do something that has anything, in my opinion, anything to do with food, water, or anything like that, you better watch it, man, because this is what could happen. And unfortunately, you know, whether he feels it was right or wrong, or whether those kids in question think it was right or wrong, obviously the school board thinks differently, right?
Right. And the, JT, with social media these days, once that story gets out, it's a wildfire, man. It's just going to go up in flames, and you know that because it's a he said situation. Some players probably that maybe don't like Coach Watley, would be on the side of the kid in question, right? Other players who love Coach Watley, and he's a father figure to us. They're gonna back him, like maybe the five that were there yesterday with Peter Patakos. So I don't know if he'll be allowed to speak on it. We're gonna reach out to the interim head coach, Antonio Hall, coming up either this week or next week, right? I'd love to get Coach Watley on the show to have him tell his side of the story. Now, he spoke up and released a statement, it was in an article in the newspaper, and I'll just paraphrase here. This is from Kelly Weir in the repository. Marcus Watley broke his silence Monday about the discipline of a player that led to the end of his career as McKinley's football coach. Watley, through his attorney, Peter Patakos, said the accusations that the coaches forced a 17-year-old player to eat an entire pepperoni pizza against his Hebrew Israelite religious beliefs for missing a voluntary May 20th strengthening and conditioning workout are false and exaggerated. I miss my boys. I love them. They know that, Watley said. I learned from a great man how to coach, former St. Vincent St. Mary head coach Dan Borman. He showed me a lot. How to take care of kids and everything that comes with the kid, not just the football player, but the student, the person, and the athlete. I try to incorporate that with my coaches every day. So, you know, I'd love to get him on, you know, when he can speak. Yeah. I don't know if he can now legally, because there's still an investigation, I think, with the police, as well as maybe the lawsuit that still might be going on with, the school board and the city and everything. I'd just like to say, okay, why this method, you know?
Forget about why this method. Think about why now. If he knew this was going to be the case, he probably didn't know what the outcome was going to be, though. Right. But why would he wait until after the fact that they had already gotten whatever they – I don't want to say gotten rid of him. Right. They terminated his contract, okay, as a head football coach. Why wait until after they terminate you as head football coach to have that statement made either yourself or through your attorney? Why not come out and say that ahead of time? They're forming an investigation. I want to put my news out there right now. We did nothing wrong. We didn't do what you're accusing us of doing. You can look at every videotape you want to, but until you hear what really went down, you're not qualified to make that decision. You're not qualified for that outcome. Why now?
Here's why I think they waited for him to say anything, okay? I don't know if they knew, A, about the surveillance, or B, if they did know about the surveillance tape, if there was audio to it. So they weren't made aware of what was on the tape and what might have been said on that tape. So you don't want to say something and then have it disproved. Once the videotape and the audio come out. So
I'm innocent,
you keep,
I do.
Yeah, but you keep.
If I'm innocent, I'm defending myself from the get-go.
Yeah, but they can, you know, depending on how you say things, it can work against you. They can still word it against you. So I think they wanted to wait until the video surveillance tape came out to see if there was both audio and video, and there's only video. So now I think that might re-energize them as the tandem of the attorney and client to go get what they think is justice.
And I got to take it, too. I got to take it back in time, too, because, you know, this is tough for a high school kid. We talked about Baker Mayfield going through how many different offensive coordinators, how many different head coaches in his short time with the Cleveland Browns. Well, I went through this, and anybody else that went through this in high school, you think it's tough for a pro? Put yourself in these kids' position. My coach is no longer there. Yeah. It is like losing a father figure. I mean, we went through it when John Breiweiser got let go. They bring in this guy no one had ever heard of. At least in this situation, they've got a guy already in the program, already in the building in Antonio Hall. When we're kids, they bring in some guy nobody had ever heard of. Who is Terry Forbes?
Right.
I'll tell you who Terry Forbes is. He's a heck of a football coach, won us a state title. But the difference is the fact that it's tough when you're a kid and you feel that you're in line for something and you know what's going on. You know the program. You know everything's in place, and all of a sudden things change overnight. At least for these kids now, they've got somebody that's already in the building.
and somebody who knows the program, and it means a lot to them, okay?
Yes.
And maybe that will help ease some of the pain in the transfer and in the process of this, you know, so.
Well put.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines, trust me. We want to hear from you at 330-450-1480. But before we do that, coming up next, we're going to hear the interview that our John Bozica, you can catch him Monday through Friday, 10 to noon here on WHBC. We're going to hear what John's interview with Peter Patakos, the attorney representing Marcus Whatley. That's coming your way next when we return. We'll hear what he had to say in defense of his client, Marcus Whatley. Stay with us here on the Kenny and JT Show.